Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Bet Amud Aleph by Shahiyah Rabbi Kiva Omer. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Kiva believes that not only a dam chatat that enters into the heichal is posel the korban, but any damim of a korban that is brought in the chaper is posel the korban. And the Gemara wants to know the source for Rabbi Kiva's position. Just as background to that, you need to know that in Parshat Tzav, Perek Vov, it says towards the end of the Perek there, by the Be'er Shem El Moshe Lemur, the Be'er Aron Vavanav Lemur, Zol Torat HaChatat. This is Torat HaChatat. So the Parshiyah, they're speaking about the Chatat and the processing of the Chatat. Then it continues afterwards and says, Ukli Cheres, Asher Tivushal Bo Yishaver. Any korban that is cooked inside of a Kli Cheres needs to be broken. Be'im B'Kli Nechoshet Bushala, if it was done in metallic Kli, Umorak v'shutaf b'mayim. It has to be cleaned out, rinsed out, to be kashered in order to remove the tam of the korban from the kli, but you don't have to break it, obviously. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochal ota, kodesh kodeshim hi. And then the final pasuk here, which is going to be a big part of today's daf, kol chatat asher yuva midama el ohel moed, any chatat which you bring the dam into the ohel moed, lechaper b'kodesh, in order to provide kapara, Lo te'achel, it will not be eaten. Ba'esh tisareif, it will be burnt. So now that is true of the chatot ha'pnimiyot. Chatot ha'pnimiyot that are brought into the heichal and are done properly, lo te'achel, they're not eaten. And also ba'esh tisareif, they are burnt. They do not go on the mizbeach. They go mechutz la'machaneh, and they're burnt mechutz la'machaneh, with the exception of the emurim that end up on the mizbeach. But the pasuk is darshant here, and we're going to see, to refer to a chatat that is improperly taken into the heichal. And there it says, v'chol chatat, asher yuva midama omoed, any chatat that is brought into the heichal, lechaper bakodesh, as a kapara, to use it as a kapara, lo te'achel, cannot be eaten, and ba'ish tisareif, it is pasul. So that is the source for the fact that a korban that is brought into the heichal is problematic. The question is, what is subsumed in that pasuk? From the simple reading of the pasuk, it says v'chol chatat. It's only a reference to chatat. So really the burden of proof is on Rabbi Akiva here. The two things I would note are, first of all, the parshiyah in the context in which we're speaking is Zot Torat HaChatat. It is a parshiyah that is speaking about chatat. And at the end it says v'chol chatat d'sheyivah dama el omoed. The second thing is that in the middle of the parshiyah there it spoke about the kashering of kelim with regards to kodeshim that are eaten in kelim. And over there it says kol zachar b'konim yuchal ota kodesh kodeshim hi, which seems to broaden the context of what we're speaking about, and we'll see that later on in the Masechta, that this has reference not only to Chatat, but also has reference to other Korbanot, at least Kodshei Kodashim. There's even an opinion that it applies to Kodshim Kalim as well. But that means that in the middle of this Parshia, with regards to the Chatat, it speaks about more broadly Kodashim. That tension is going to feed into the difference of opinion here as to how to read that last Pasuk in that Parshia in Perek Vav of Vayikra. It says, Shaya Rabbi Kiva Omer, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mashal Lema Davar Dumeh. What is this a Mashal like? Meaning, what is the parable that could help us to understand Rabbi Kiva's position? The Talmid Shemazag L'Rabo B'Chamin. A Talmid, someone who is in service of his master, whether it's an apprentice, a servant, a student, that is servicing his master, and he is Muzeg, he dilutes the wine with warm or hot water. You could either dilute with cold water, or you could dilute with hot water. And he does it with hot water. V'amarlo, his Rebbe says to him, Mazogli, says to him, dilute for me. Amarlo, bameh. The Talmid, or the servant, responds to him and says, how do you want me to do it? Amarlo, lo bechamim anu asukim. Aren't we in the context of a situation in which we're dealing with doing dilution through hot water? Achshav, now, ben bechamim ben bitzonein. It must be that it's a reference to both hot and cold over here. So the way that the Bali at Tosafot explained it over here, the entire mezogli is lishnadi yiturahu. The fact that the Rebbe says mezogli, diluted for me, was completely unnecessary. They were already in the context or in a situation in which he's already diluting the wine for him, he's diluting it in hot water. The fact that the Rebbe says to mezogli is completely extraneous. Because of that, Balomar, that comes to teach you, Urabot Afilutzonein. To tell you, the fact that the Rebbe mentioned something that they're already engaged in indicates to you that he really means more than what they are engaged in. So the Baal Tosafot say, they're dealing with Mziga, and then the Rebbe says, Mazogli. Well, of course, that's what we're doing. Why do you need to tell me to Mazogli? That must be a more expansive request or permission to do it, not only Bechamin, but also Bitsune. And similarly over here, the Parshia that we're speaking about is Zotarata Chatat. We're speaking about a Chatat. The context of the Parshia is Chatat. So then why in the Pasuk, at the end of the Parshia, right, V'chol Chatat, Asher Yuvad Dama, you could have just said, V'chol Asher Yuvad Dama. Why do you need the word Chatat at all? The context is already Chatat. The fact that you mentioned Chatat indicates that you're giving broader discretion over here, or in essence saying that it's not just applicable to a Chatat, it's applicable to more Korbanot. That's the way that the Baal Tosafot read it. Rashi reads it that it says, Mizogli Chamin. So now, he did not need to say Mizogli Chamin. He had to say Mizogli, dilute it for me, but he didn't have to say dilute it for me in hot water. Because that's what they were doing until now. Until this point in time, they've been diluting in hot water. So when he says to him, Mizogli Bechamin, it's completely unnecessary. He could have just said Mizogli. So Rashi says the unnecessary terminology is the Chamin. Tosafot says the Mizogli, period, is unnecessary. The Rashi, which seems to fit more along the lines of the Psukim, says that you don't need to say Mizogli Chamin. If he says Mizogli Chamin, that opens up the possibility that you could do more than just Chamin. Because the fact that you mentioned Chamin implies that Zonain is also an option over here. Until now, we were just doing Chamin. And if you just said to Mizogli, we would have continued to do it with Chamin, because that's the context. In fact, now you say Mizogli with Chamin, that opens up the possibility of Zonain. And similarly, in our Pasuk, the context is Chatat. The fact that you say V'chol Chatat, that repetition or that unnecessary mention of the Chatat, indicates that now there's more that could be affected here than just the Chatat. Other Korbanot are subject to this din. That's how Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explained this position of Rabbi Kiva using this mashal. Hachanami. So now Hachanami, in our case here, Michtei B'chatat Askinan, as we explained along the context of the Parshia, is Chatat. Ve'atei Chatat, Dichtav Rachmana, Lomali. So then when it says, V'chol Chatat, Asher Yuvav Midama Lomuleid, L'chaper B'kodesh L'techo B'esh Tisarev, why is that necessary? Elalav Chatat, Kamin Allah Elokod Kodeshim. So that extraneous Chatat comes to teach you the din is not solely relegated to the din of a chatat, but also applies to other kodoshim. And as Rashi notes over here, the reason it mentions a chatat, even though it's trying to include other items, is to tell you, delote ma chatat lo tipsol, tell you that maybe you would think a chatat should not be pasol, shekei matzinu chatot, nechnesa deichal bechatot apnimiot, because we find manifestations of chatot that end up in the eichal, so maybe then a chatot achitzonot should also be ksherim in that case. Law comes the world chatat to tell you, not only are there other kodeshim chapsulim, so is a chatat over here. And that's why he mentions the word chatat twice, even though it's trying to come and include other kodeshim, because you would have a havamina that chatat would have been excluded from this din. So it specifically mentions chatat to tell you not only other kodeshim, but even the chatat is included in this din. Matkiv lo ravuna b'reidu Yeshua. Michdei. That doesn't make so much sense. Look at the context there. Itrabu kolo kodoshim, the gabay mizbeach, v'inyan merika v'shtifan. This is what I pointed out when we started the daf today, that there are psukim in the middle that discuss the kelim that are used to eat the kodoshim, and the kashering of those kelim. And in that sequence, it says, v'klicheres asher tuvashal bo yishaver, v'mklinechoshet bushala murak v'shutaf b'mayim. That's the reference here to merika and shtifa. V'sachar b'koinim yochalota kodesh kodoshim hi. From that Kodesh Kodeshim, it's a ribui to all Kodeshim. So what Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says is the context here is not Chatat. The context here is Kol Kodeshim. Then you have the Pasuk, V'chol Chatat, Desher Yivah Midama. It's necessary to say V'chol Chatat there because the context entering into this Pasuk is Kol Kodeshim. Chatat Dichtiv Rachmano Lomali. So why do you write Chatat after it's referencing to all the Kodeshim? Shmamina Chatat In Mida Achrin Alo. So that shows you that Chatat is a limiting factor, not an inclusive term, but rather an exclusive term. Telling you Chatat In, not anything else. So now, the machloket really between them is, what is the context over here? Is the context the opening Pasuk of that Parshia, which is Daber Laron V'Elbanav Lemar Zotorat HaChatat? So that would be the context. Or is the context the couple of psukim right before it, which branch out beyond the chatat and discuss kodesh kodeshim other Kodeshim as well. That will determine the Chol Chatat at the end of the Parshia, what context is it being written in. If it's being written in a context where all Kodeshim are included, that would make Chatat an exclusive term rather than an inclusive term. The other hand, if it's already speaking about Chatat and the context is Chatat, then the Chol Chatat would be more likely to be an inclusive term because it was unnecessary to mention it, and therefore it must be inclusive in nature. The situation here is more like this in terms of the parable, which is you have someone who's in service of his master who does mizigah, both cold and in hot, meaning that's like all kodoshim. And then the Rebbe says to him, okay, this time just do it with hot water. That's what it means, b'chol chatat. After you say it applies to all kodoshim, now you say, oh, this next din only applies to chatat. That's like saying, okay, now just do it with chamin. So then that upends this explanation of Rabbi Kiva. At the time of the Rabbi Kiva, this is the reasoning behind Rabbi Kiva. It says, mechatat v'chol chatat. It's a ribui in the pasuk. The pasuk says chatat, and it says kol chatat. So the kol is a ribui to include more than just the chatat. The Tanya, we have a braita that backs up that explanation. Chatat. Ein li ala chatat. I only know about a chatat. Kodshei kodeshim minayin. How do you know this impacts on other korbanot, not just a chatat that are kodshei kodeshim? Tamil Omar, kol chatat, that's a ribui. And then kodshim kalim minayim. How do I know that affects korbanot that are kodshim kalim as well? Tamil Omar, v'chol chatat, the vav also. So you have a vav, then a chol, and then the chatat. So the v'chol is a riboy that extends the reach of the chatat. Tiberi Rabbi Kiva, that's the view of Rabbi Kiva, that's the explanation of Rabbi Kiva's position in our Mishnah. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi Hagilili, afilu ata mirabe kol hayom kulo, eni shomei lecha. You can come and include anything you want. You can make all of these drashot, and I'm not going to listen to you, because it's incorrect. Ella, this is the way to read it. Chatat, ein li ela chatat yachid. I only know about a chatat yachid. As Rashi notes over here, and what's clear from the Pesukim over there, all the parshiot there are parshiot of korbanot yachid. Because we dealt with, right before that, an asham. An asham is a korban that has no application by the tzibur, has application by the yachid. So all the parshiot there in Tzav that deal with the processing of korbanot are dealing with korbanot yachid. Chatat, olah, shlamim, and the asham, all are korbanot yachid. So if I just read the pasuk v'chol chatat d'sheyuvad midama, I would have thought it's speaking about a korban chatat yachid. Chatat etzibur minayin. How do I know? This also has application to chatot etzibur. Tamil Omar kol chatat. That's what the riboy is. The riboy is to include other types of chatot. Ein li ela zachar. I only know about chatot that come from male animals. Chatat nekeva minayin. How do I know it applies even to chatot that come from female animals? Tamil Omar, vichol. That's the extra vav, and again, that's a ribui. Omar says, kalpe layo. You got it all backwards. That makes no sense. Because the primary chatat, a chatat yachid, comes as a nekeva. So just as some background, a chatat yachid can come as a nekeva, and it can come as a zachar. Primarily, it comes as a nekeva, that's a chatat yachid, that either comes from a kifsa or a si'ira. On the other hand, there is se'ir hanasi, which is the one korban hayachid or chatat hayachid that comes from a male. On the other hand, all the chatot etzibur come from zicharim, come from males. So now over here it says, ein li ela chatat zachar. I only know about zicharim. Chatat nekeva minayin. How do I know about a nekeva? Well, if you tell me that the context of the psukim here is a chatat hayachid primarily comes as a nekeva. And the way that this is structured should be just the opposite. It should be more obvious that a chatat nekeva is included in the pasuk, and you should need a riboy for zachar. That's what the Mar says, el haki kamar. Enli ala chatat nekeva. Only know about a chatat nekeva. Chatat zachar minayin. How do I know that zacharim are also included? Tamil Omar, v'chol chatat. That's why you have the riboy of v'chol chatat. Even with this emendation of the Gemara, it's very hard to understand. You have here a sequence that says, primarily, I think that what's included here is a chatat yachid. The first riboy includes chatot etzibur. The second riboy comes along and includes zicharim. Well, if you already included chatot etzibur in the second riboy, you already included zicharim. Chatot etzibur only come from zicharim. So then why do you have any safek about zicharim going forward if you already included chatot etzibur? By definition, if you're bringing chatot etzibur, you're bringing zicharim. So you can see that question in the Balei Tosafot. He says it's very hard to understand the girsa that way we have it. And he says, I would have preferred Ivav Gersinan Ipchanecha. Had this whole thing been flipped around, it would make more sense to me. Now, he doesn't flip it around. He just notes it. But if you're looking down in the Shita Mikubetzet, Ot Chavav, he actually lays out what the Balei Tosafot want the Gemara to read like. And that is, Ein li ala chatat nekeva. I only know about a chatat nekeva because a chatat yachid, the primary chatat yachid, comes as a nekeva. So if I look in the parshia here, I would have thought about a nekeva. Chatat zachar minayin. How do I know that it also applies to male korbanot? Tamalomar kol chatat. That's a riboy. Ein li ala chatat yachid. That's only with chatat yachid. Ube yachid nami ika zachar kugun seir nasi. The zachar that you included was the seir nasi. So those are chatot yachid. So chatot yachid I included nekeva. Now I included zachar. But those are all within chatot yachid. Chatat zibur minayin. Then you ask, where do I know the chatot zibur? V'chol chatat. That's v'chol. Because then the riboy brings in the chatot zibur afterwards. So that's what the Balei Tosafot meant. If you flip the girsa, that would make a lot more sense here in terms of the sequential. Otherwise, it doesn't make so much sense. You already included chatot zibur, and now you're asking me about zicharim. Chatot zibur are zicharim. The Yeshini Mikubetzet after that offers an alternative explanation according to the Girsa of Rashi. Rashi. If you have to deal with the Girsa that's in our Gemara, which is the Girsa of Rashi, then this is what you need to say. Chatat zachar biyachid minayin. Tzibur shiny dulef sharni keva behen. The question of the Gemara in the last sequence is, I have chatat yachid, then I have a chatat tzibur. Now I said, oh, that's nekeva, where do I get zachar? What do you mean, where do I get zachar? You already have chatot tzibur. No, chatot tzibur aren't a proof about anything. Because by chatot tzibur, there's only one type of korban, that's the zachar. I want to know, by chatot yachid, does it apply to zacharim as well? There you have different chatot yachid. You have some chatot yachid that are nekevot, the majority. That's a korbanot yachid. And then you have a chatat nasi, which is a zachar. So that's what it's coming to say. The riboy is not a riboy from zacharim in general. It's zacharim bechatot yachid. In that way, he tries to salvage the girsa that we have in our Gemara, that's the girsa of Rashi. The Gemara then continues and says, "Misover Rabbi Yosi Glili, hai kro lohochi hu da'ato." This is what Rabbi Yosi Glili thinks we do with this pasuk. Vahatanyo. Don't we have a braita where Rabbi Yosi Glili darshins this pasuk completely differently? Rabbi Yosi Glili omer, kol inyan kulo means this pasuk of chol chata d'shei yuva midama lo moed t'chaper b'kodosh lo te'achel b'esh tisarei. It's a reference to the parim and nisrafim and sirim nisrafim, which we found at the beginning of Ezehu Mekoman. That includes the par v'seir sheyom ha-kipurim. That includes the par helam davar shel tzibor, the par kohen gadol, as well as the seir l'avodah zarah. All of those are parim and nisrafim and sirim and nisrafim. Lisrof psulehem abet habira. To tell you, when something goes wrong with them, you burn them in the mikdash itself. V'lamod b'lo taseh al chilato. To tell you that there's a restriction against consuming such korbanot. Now obviously you can't consume these korbanot because they're not eaten, they're put on the fire. But normally, and you remember this from earlier in the Masechta, when we have parim nisrafim, seirim nisrafim, par seir of shelmi kippurim, you put the damim internally in the echal and all the places that they need to be put. After you're finished with that, they're taken michutz tamachaneh. That's michutz l'shlosh machanot. And they are burnt over there by Esh Tisareif. They are burnt outside the Shlosh Machanot on a pyre outside. What Rabbi Yosi Galili comes to say is, that's true when they're Ksherim. When they're Ksherim, you put the Damim in the Echal, the Kodesh, Kodeshim, whatever is relevant for each one of these Korbanot. Then you take the carcasses out of the Shlosh Machanot. That means in the time of the Mikdash, Michutz Yerushalayim. In the Mikbar, it means Chutz L'Machaneh Yisrael, and you burn them there. Now, if you're going to burn them, obviously you can't eat them. So there's an Iser Aseh, because you're supposed to burn them, so you can't consume them. What Rabbi Yosi Glili says is, there's two things that come out of this pasuk over here, and that is, if you're doing any of the parim nisrafim, sirim nisrafim, lo te'achel, you may not eat them. Now, we know that the din with regards to them is that they are nisrafim, that they have to be burned. But that only generates an Iser Aseh. There's an Aseh to burn them. A derivative of that is now there's an Iser to eat them because you must burn them. But that's an Iser Aseh, and an Iser that derives from an Aseh is an Aseh. But over here, we're not only saying it's an Aseh, there's also an explicit lo taseh, lo te'achel, that you may not eat them. Now there's an Iser Lav associated with eating them. So the lo te'achel comes to teach you no matter what, whether you are mechaper, or whether it fails, lo te'achel, you can't eat it. In addition to that, it says, bakodesh, lo te'achel, and Rashi reads it as Bakodesh Ba'ish Tisareif. If there is a problem Bakodesh, if there's an issue in Kodesh, means there was a psul that happened over here, Ba'ish Tisareif, you must burn it there on the spot. So Rabbi Yosi Glili learns from this, and we're going to learn this later on in the Masechta, that there are actually three different areas where there's a Beit HaMoked. There's one in the Azara itself, there's one on Har HaBayit, and there's one Mishchutz L'Shlosh Machanot. So if the Korban was kosher, we would take it Mishchutz L'Shlosh Machanot. But if it goes Pasul in the Azara, then it's burnt inside the Azara, and that's what this Pasuk is teaching you. If it was a Psul that was after it was Yotzei Mi'Azara, but then it would go on the Beit Bot Okay that's in Har HaBayit. Here, where it went problematic inside the Kodesh, then you have a requirement to burn it on the spot. So that's what he learns in the Pasuk. If you're doing any of the Parim Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim, Lo Te'achel, you may not eat them. Now there's an Isur Lav associated with eating them. If there was Bakodesh, there was a problem, Ba'ish Tisareif, they're burnt on the spot. So that's what Rabbi learns from this Pasuk. If that's true, he can't learn anything from this Pasuk about bringing Dam into the Heichal. Amrlo, Chatat Shenichnas Dama Lifnai V'Lifnei Minayin. So then what's the source, or your source for the fact, that if you bring a korban chatat achitzona into the echal, that is pusel the korban. Amar lahen, I learned that out from the story in Parshat Shmini, when Moshe is trying to figure out why Aaron HaKohen allowed the Seir of Ashkodesh to be burnt. And over there he asks them a series of questions. One of those questions there in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud is, Hein lo huvat damal kodesh pnima, achol tochlu ota bakodesh kasher tziveti. If the dam was not brought in to the echal, then why didn't you eat the korban like you were supposed to as kohanim? I told you that even though you were onanim, nevertheless, you eat the korbanot over here. And, hein lo vadama, the dam wasn't brought into echal. Implying had the dam been brought into echal, that would have been a good enough excuse to burn it. Or I mean, that would be the right thing to do is to burn it there. So he learns that out from there. So now, if that's Rabbi Yosef Glili's source for it, then why is he giving us a drusha in the pasuk that is found in Parshat Tzav? So the my answer is the Dvarav de Rabbi Kiva Kamar. He's saying this in the words of Rabbi Kiva. So if you go back to the Braita, now you understand what he means in the Braita. Amar lo Rabbi Yosef Lili, afilo tamir rapeh kol yom kulo, eni shomelecha. You can do all the somersaults and all the gymnastics you want to do. I don't think this pasuk has anything to do with the Dachatara Chitzona that was brought inside. That's in Perek Yud. That's not in Perek Vav in Parshat Tzav. And even in your own Shita, let me tell you it's wrong. Because if I was to be merabe something, I would not be merabe other kodeshim. I'd be merabe within the world of chatat to say not just a chadar yachid, chatar tzibur, not just nekeva, even a zachar. Now the Baal Tosafot question over here, Rabbi Yosef Glili just before said that you need all these multiple ribuim to include chatat. Now he tells us the source for chatat is one pasuk in Parshat Shmini, en luvad demay la kodesh pnima, there, there's no ribuy. There's only one statement over there. So where does he know all these other things? Chatar tzibur there, because it's a sirash kodesh. That's a chatar tzibur. How do you know chatar yachid? How do you know nefkeva? How do you know all these other items if there's no ribuy? He was the one who said, even according to you, Rabbi Kiva, we need these ribuyim for the chatar itself. How could he have a single pasuk that teaches all of these items? The Baal Tosafot leave that as a tzarech iyun, the kavei Rabbi Yosef Glili. But if you look at the Shita Mekubetza in Ot, Chav Zayin, he answers, "Yesh lamar mekoshekain." So lo matzino echsher bifnim liyachid. He says it's a koshekain because we never find any chatat yachid that is brought or processed in the echal. So he says, if the pasuk tells you by seir of Ashkodesh, had it been brought into the echal, it would have been pasul, and that's a chatat tzibur. Now chatat tzibur doesn't enter the echal except for parim nisrafim and sirim nisrafim, but at least it's a manifestation of a chatat tzibur inside the echal. And nevertheless, it is pasul. So if that is pasul, then certainly a yachid, which never has any manifestation inside of the echal, that would be pasul if you brought the dam inside. So that's how the Shita Mekubetza gets around that problem. The footnotes over there on the Shita Mekubetza say, maybe not so, because we have the par Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, which is par Yom HaKippurim, is a par of the Kohen Gadol. It's a par yachid that is brought into the echal. So that's not true that we don't ever have a yachid. So he says that must follow the Shita, that the par Kohen Gadol is not a par of a yachid, but rather a par of the shutafim. It belongs to the Kohen Gadol as well as all echav kohanim, and they really are shutafim in the korban. It's not a korban yachid per se, and therefore you can still make the kal v'chomer of the shita mikubetzet. Okay, now we begin the next mishnah. Chatat shekibel dama b'shnei kosot. You had a chatat where you did the kabbalat dam into two separate kosot. Yatzachan mehen chutz. One of them left the azara. Hapnimi, the one that stayed behind, is kasher, and you can put it on the mizbeach and discharge the obligation vis-a-vis the korban, and it'll be a kosher korban. On the other hand, if one of those kosot went into the heichal, Rabbi Yosef Glili machshir bechitzon, he says the one that didn't go into the heichal, you can use that on the mizbeach achitzon and discharge your obligation. Chachamim, poslim. On the other hand, the chachamim think it's pasul. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that just because half the dam went inside doesn't pusel the other half of the dam. We'll see why in a second. But I mean, believe, once the korban is pusel because the dam went inside, doesn't matter that there's dam outside, the dam that went in was pusel the whole korban. I'm Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now he's going to bring his proof. Ma im b'makom shemachshava poselet b'chutz lo atzata b'shuyar ki yotzei. So now, there are four contexts that are going to be mentioned over here in the Mishnah, and you need it in the Gemara as well, because we're going to go over this a number of times. And that is that if you have a makshava of chutz le'mkomo, makshavet chutz le'mkomo, which is when you have in mind to bring a korban outside of the location where it's supposed to be processed. Makshavet chutz le'mkomo affects things when you think about doing them outside the Azara, or outside of Yerushalayim, depending on what you're thinking about. But that's chutz le'mkomo. If you think about doing it in the Heichal, that's not called Chutz Limkomo. So that's the first thing you need to know. Psol Machshevet Chutz Limkomo only has application with regards to things that are outside, not things that are inside or internally Pnim. The second thing you need to know is, when Dam is brought into the Heichal Bifnim, it is Pasol. Dam that is taken out, Yotze, outside of the Azara, that Dam is Pasol, but it doesn't affect the Korban as a whole. It doesn't ruin the Korban necessarily. So those are the four different pieces of the puzzle, and we're going to spend a lot of time on those four different pieces of the puzzle. The first of which is Makshevet Chutz Limkomo with regards to Michutz, outside, taking the item outside, and then the other side, which is Makshevet Chutz Limkomo Bifnim, thinking about doing it in the Eichal, and then actually taking it into the Eichal. So keeping that in mind, what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Ma im b'makom she'makshava poselet b'chutz. When you have a place where machshava does have impact, that means outside the Azara. If you was Kodesh Kodeshim, you thought about eating the basar, michutz limkomo, outside the Azara. We thought of putting the emurim on the mizbeach, michutz la Azara. Those are all chutz limkomo, they would be pasul. Lo asat mishuyar kiyotze. On the other hand, if you took the dam outside, as we said in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that if you have two cups and you took one cup outside, the residual cup is fine. Over there, it doesn't make it pasul. Makom she'ena machshava puselet, bifnim, a place, which is bifnim, in the Eichal, where machshava has no impact. I mean, if you thought to eat the korban in there, or process the korban in there, that's not a soul of machshavet chutz limkomo. Enu din shelo nase et mishuyar kenichnas, that certainly the residual should not be affected that which is going in. So what you see from here, or the kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yossi Gli is trying to develop is, let's look at yotze. By Yotze, we already have a paradigm that Yotze, if one of the cups goes out, the other cup is kasher, then the same should be true bifnim. That if one cup goes in, the other cup should be good. And he does it through a kal v'chomer, which is, makshevet chutz limkomo effects when you go out. Nevertheless, when one dam goes out, the other dam is kasher, then bifnim, where makshava has no impact, and certainly where one dam goes in, the other dam should be kasher. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And we'll discuss it in more detail in a braita in the Gemara. Nichnas lechaper. If he goes in with the intent to do kapara, afa pi shelo kiper pasul. Even if he never succeeds at doing whatever he was planning on doing with the dam inside the Eichal, nevertheless it is pasul because he entered with the intent to do kapara. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shechaper. Shimon says, there's no problem until you actually accomplish the kapara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imich nishogeg kasher. If he went in unintentionally, then it remains kasher, implying that if he went in intentionally, it would be problematic. Kol adamim psulim shenatanu agav mizbeach. All dam that is pasul that ends up on the mizbeach lo hurtza atzitz ella ala tamei. The tzitz doesn't help you out in order to bring mitzui over here. Only things that are tamei does the tzitz help out with. Shetzitz miratzeh ala tamei or ala tuma veinu miratzeh ala yotze. The tzitz takes care of tuma. It doesn't take care of Yotze. We're going to learn that in the Gemara in Menachot when we get to the Sugyo by Tefillin and deal with Tzitz. There it says that it's Miratze Alavona Kodoshim. And the Gemara Darshan's over there, all sorts of Miutim and definitions that tell us that it's only referencing to Tuma and Tumata Kodoshim that the Tzitz is Miratze. So when it comes to the Damim, even though we have a principle, Imalu Lo Yerdu, which means if those end up on the Mizbeach, we're not going to make you take it down. But as far as Ritzui is concerned, the tzitz is not miratzeh, the korban is not miratzeh. They have the ability that the mizbeach will be kolate and keep the item on the mizbeach, or allow you, if you put the dam on the mizbeach and the korban ends up on the mizbeach, that it will remain there, but it doesn't allow for Ritzui, and Ritzui of the tzitz only works by tumah. is only able to overcome the issue of Tumah. So now the latter half of the Mishnah we're going to discuss in tomorrow's daf. Today's daf is going to focus on the first part of the Mishnah, which is the machloki between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim over here. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kal v'chomer, Umah b'makom shemachshava poselet b'chutz, in a case where machshavet chutz l'mekomo applies, that means outside the Azara. I'm just going to use outside the Azara as the example. It could be outside of Yerushalayim for some of the korbanot, but I should say outside the Azara. Lo pasal dam shivchutz et shibifnim. Yet when dam goes out there, it does not ruin the dam that was left inside. Makom she'ein machshava posel bifnim. A case where in a echal, if you have a machshava to take the damim in there, it's not pasul, it's not chutz l'mekomo. Einu din shelo yifsol adam shibifnim et shibachutz. And certainly the dam that was taken into the echal should not affect the dam that was left outside. So amrule, the chamim respond to him and say, Hari Umer, the pasuk says, "Asher yuva midama, afilo miktzat dama." Rashi says it's from the word midama, from the dam. It doesn't say et dama, but rather midama. So midama means afilo miktzat dama. Even if a portion of the blood ended up inside the hechal, it's posel the korban. Chukatay asher yuva midama, midama. Any of that dam ends up inside, it ruins the korban. So there we have a pasuk that gives us that definition or gives us that answer. That when you bring the dam inside, it is posel, even though you're right, mikav chomer, or logically it wouldn't have dictated that way. Nevertheless, the posuk tells us that when you do it, it does have that impact. Amar lahem, so now Rabbi Yossi Aglili flips the kav chomer in the other direction. As the Bali Tosafot point out over here, many of the Achronim point out here, and in the subsequent pieces of the Gemara, there are pirchot to these kav chomers, there are ways to undermine the kav chomers. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi Aglili presents them. As Rashi notes over here, Rabbi Yossi Aglili never said any of this. Because if you go look in Torah Kohanim, about the machlok between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim, none of this exists over there. So what Rashi says over here is the Gemara is putting these words into the mouth of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because the truth is that these questions are questions of Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself, not just on the Chachamim. Gemara, in a didactic method, does it by making it a conversation between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and puts these questions or these words into the mouth of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He says, Amar lahem, kal v'chomer liyotzei. Now if you flip it the other way, me'ata, umah b'makom she'ein machshava poselet bifnim. By the echal, where machshavet chutz l'mekomo has no impact, posel dam shibifnim et shibachutz. Over there, if you took dam inside, it affects the dam that is outside. Makom shemachshava posel et bachutz. The case where chutz l'mekomo applies, meaning chutz l'azara, where it applies, enu din shivsol dam shibachutz et shibifnim. Concerning the dam that took was taken out there, should affect the dam that's left on inside. So I failed the kav chomer to tell you that when you take it in, that it should be affect the stuff that was left behind. You're telling me, no, it does affect it. Well, if that's the case, then dam that was taken out, when you left some behind, the dam that's taken out should ruin it for everything, mea kav chomer. Amrulo, hari omer, asher yuva, hanichnas posel, veina yotzei posel. It's a diuk out of the lashon here, which is kolchatar, asher yuva midama. Things that are brought in are posel. Things that go out are not posel. I mean that the only case where midama, where a portion of the dam is impactful, is yuva, when you take it in. But when you take it out, a portion of the dam will not be impactful. On the other hand, the simple reading of the Gemara is that, or the way the Gemara reads it, asher yuva. Things that are brought in cause problems. Things that go out don't cause problems. Utei. So now he says, okay. Now you have two things. Let's use the kav chomer this way. Tei machshava bifnim poselet. So now let's say that machshavet chutz l'mekomo should have application by the echal. Mikav chomer. Ma b'mekom shelo pasal dam shibachutz et shibifnim. Where you took dam outside from two kosot, the remaining kos behind is still kasher. Nevertheless, machshava poselet bichutz. So nevertheless, the machshavet chutz l'mekomo of outside the azara does have impact. Mekom shepasal dam shibifnim. Et dam shebichutz, the place where, if you took the dam into the echal, the residual dam that was left outside would become pasul. Einu din shedei machshevet posel bifnim, concerning the machshevet chutz l'mekomo, should impact that which is going on in the echal. Hari Omer, the pasuk says, Bayom hashilishi, makom mishehim mishulash behem babasar, ba'imurim, it has to be something that is triangulated, which means that it applies to all three items. Dam, Basar, and Emurim. The drasha we saw back on Chavtet Amud Aleph. Gemara learns from Bayom HaShlishi that has to be a Makom Mishulash. Rashi over here, as well as Rashi back there, explains that is only outside the Azara. And that is because Bizman Heter Abamot, outside the Azara, was Kasher Ledam. It was Kasher Lebasar. and it was kasher the emurim. So there was a point in time where that was true, and because of that, that's the area where machshevet pigul has application. Both chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mkomo have application over there, because beyom ha-shlishi is extraneous in the pasuk in Parshat Kiddushim. From that we learn it has to be a makom mishulash. If you remember, the Baal HaTosafot back on Chavtet Amud Aleph disagreed with Rashi, and over there brought a large number of options as to what the drusha is, including a drusha that is just the opposite of Rashi's drusha over here, from Rav Yosef Tovi Leim, where he says, Rav Yosef Tovi Leim Mefaresh, Makom Mishulash, Hainu Sheyachshov Lizrok, Makom Shedam Ubasari Marim Psulim. You have to have Makshava about a place where all three of the items are Pasul. Kagon, Makshav Lizrok Kodashim Kalim Chutz Yerushalayim. Ava Makshav Lizrok Bi Yerushalayim Lo. Tein Shum Psul Basar. Kodashim Kodashim Afil Bi Yerushalayim. Kevin De Bezah Makom Shloshtam Psulim Sham. Since that's a place where all three of them are Psulim, then you can have a Makshav Lizrok Kodashim. That's not true of the Heichal. It's not Pasul, at least for Achilat Basar, inside of the Heichal. Rashi back there on Daf Chavtet Amud Aleph says that the Eichal, you cannot eat in the Eichal, and therefore it's not a Makom HaMishulash. You're not allowed to eat the Basar and bring the Emurim in the Eichal. Baal HaTosafot over there point out that our Gemara we saw later on tells us that the Kohanim in an emergency situation can eat in the Eichal. So there is a Chilat Basar, and therefore he brings this to Rav Yosef Tovi Leim that explains just the opposite of Rashi. You need a place that is Pasul for all three items. The only place that's Pasul for all three items by Kodshim Galim is outside the Azara. Kodshim Kalim is outside of Yerushalayim. But in Eichal, that's not Pasul, because you can eat the Basar there. It's not Pasul for all three of them. So once again, Zera Takatuv. A pasuk that tells you, number one, when you bring dam inside, it's Pusel the Korban, even if it's a portion of the dam and the remainder of the dam is outside. Number two is, when you take dam outside, it's not Pusel the remainder on the inside. That we learn from the pasuk. The third thing now we know from the pasuk is Machshevet Pigul only applies to Chutz, does not apply to the Eichal. So all of these are from Gzerot HaKatuv, and they don't allow for the Kal V'chomer that is being proposed over here to come to fruition. So now the Gemara continues. Below day Machshava Poselet B'chutz Mikal V'chomer. So then Machshava should have no impact B'chutz from a Kal V'chomer. Uma Makom Shepasal Dam Shebifnim Et Shebachutz in Eichal, where if you take dam in there, it ruins all the damim that are left outside. Ein Machshavet Poselet over there, the Machshava doesn't do any psul bifnim, because there's no makshevet pigul by the heichal. Makshevet pigul, makshevet chutz l'mkomo by the heichal. Makom shlo pasal dam shebechutz et shebifnim, and the area outside where if you took the dam out there, it doesn't affect the residual dam. Einu din shlo yeposel makshava bechutz, and certainly the makshevet chutz l'mkomo should have no impact over there. Tamalomar, that comes from the pasuk shlishi chutz l'zmano. Pigul chutz lim komal. So that's actually a limud from the pasuk in Parshat Tzav. So in the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, it mentions both pigul and shlishi, and we learn out from the word shlishi chutz lizmano, and from the word pigul chutz lim komal. And then the word shlishi that we brought before makom mishulash is from the shlishi that's found in Parshat Kiddushim. So this drasha follows that opinion back on the Gemara on Chavchet Amud Aleph that the pasuk and tzav is speaking about both chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo. And then the shlishi that is mentioned by Shakadoshim is to learn out makom ha-mishulash. To teach you that only in a makom mishulash does this have application, does not have application in places that are not makom mishulash. And that's the distinction between chutz l'zara versus lifnim in ha-echal. And that's how now we get the fourth din that we have here. Again, gzeirat ha-katuv, that makshevet chutz l'mkomo affects items that go outside of the azara. That's the closure of this piece about Rav Yossi HaGlili and his attempt to make these Kal V'chomers. Chamim retort in each of the cases that there's a Pasuk or limit from the Pasuk that tells us otherwise. Alright, the Gemara continues now and it says, Basar Hayotze Lachutz Pasuk. Basar of a Korban that leaves the Azara, Pasuk. Hanichnas Lifnim, Basar that goes into the Eichal, Kosher Shehebedin. Once again, it's a Kal V'chomer. Shepasuk. It should have been pasul when you take it into the Eichal. Ba'ma makom shlo pasal dam shebechutz et shebifnim. In a location when you go chutz l'azara, where the dam that's taken out there does not affect the dam that's remaining inside, pasar yotze l'chutz pasul. Nevertheless, pasar that goes out there is pasul. Makom shepasal dam shebifnim. The place where the dam that's taken bifnim affects et shebechutz, that which is left outside, pasar nichnas bifnim enu din shi pasul. concerning the basad that's taken in there should be pasul. Hari Omer, the pasuk says, midama. Midama velo basar. Truth is that the word midama appears twice. It appears once in the pasuk, chokadad ha-shevua midama el moed ha-chaper b'kodesh. It also appears in the pasuk in Parshat Shmini, where it says over there, hein luva et dama. So you have the word dama appear twice. So the second one, or the extraneous dama that is mentioned, comes to teach you dama below basar. Din of nechnas le'echal being pusel only has application by damim, does not have application with regards to basar. Kavachomer, me'ato. Now you can make a kavachomer in the other direction. Here, where if you take dam into the echal, it's pusel, the residual dam that's left outside. Basar nechnas lifnim kasher. But basar taken into echal is no problem. Makom shalom pasal dam shbechutz et shibifnim. When you leave the azara, when the blood leaves the azara, it does not affect the blood that's left behind. Then basar yotzei lechutz enu din shekasher. Then certainly basar that leaves the azara should be pasul. Here the Gemara says, Hari Omer, ubasar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. So the word basadeh is extraneous in that pasuk. It should just say basar treifa lo tochelu. Don't eat a treifa. What is basar basadeh? Basadeh chazal darshan from that. Anytime basar leaves the confines in which it is found, it becomes pasul. Sadeh is a reference to a location, a placement. If it leaves the place or location that it's supposed to be in, it becomes pasul. It is a broad restriction against anything that leaves the confines in which it's supposed to be done. Basar belongs in the azara. You take it out of the azara, that's basadeh. You violate it. Taking it out of its confines or its context, that's where the basar is eaten, and therefore when it's taken out, lo tochelu, you can't eat it anymore, it becomes pasul. So there's a pasuk that tells you that. The Gemara in Chulin uses this for an animal that you shecht and has a fetus inside the animal. If the fetus is entirely inside the animal, then it's kasher with the shechita of its mother. That's what otherwise is known as a ben pakua. If that animal had any limb that was sticking out at the time that you shechted the mother, that limb broke its mechitza, and that's considered to be basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. You can't eat it. It's not mutar. You did the shechita of the mother, and then you can't do a shechita on the baby because it doesn't need shechita, and that becomes a problematic piece of the animal. So that's where we learn it from. Basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. Or Rashi says, bo nafkalan mehein lohuva etama la kodesh pnima. He says that we also learn it out from the pasuk that says that you do not bring from the dama ela kodesh pnima. Amar lehem. Shema ichnastem lifnim. Maybe you took the dam or to the heichal. Amalei heinuva dama elakodesh pnima. Shechul lechitz mechitzata yatzta. Amalo pnima haita. In that conversation that the Gemara says went on between Moshe and Aaron over there, it says heinuva dama elakodesh pnima. He breaks it down into two questions. One is heinuva dama pnima. The dam wasn't brought inside. Or he says, well, it wasn't brought inside. Maybe it went outside. Then he says, no, elakodesh pnima. It was also always inside. So from there also you see that if it's, as long as it's inside, it's kasher. Had it gone outside, it would have been pasul. That's another possibility about the source for the fact that basar that leaves the azara is going to be pasul for kodshei kodashim. Kodshim kalim, it's basar that leaves Yerushalayim, will be pasul. Now Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, pnima. The pasuk says, hein lo huva etama elakodesh pnima. Blood wasn't brought into the kodesh. Pnima. Einli ela pnima. Heichal minayin. Pnima sounds like the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So now the Kodesh HaKodeshim, if you bring it in there, it's pasul. How do I know that if you bring it to the Kodesh into Heichal, it's also pasul? Tamalomar ela Kodesh. Goes into the Kodesh, ela Kodesh pnima. Yomar Kodesh, vayomar pnima. Why don't you just say Kodesh, and we would have known it references the Heichal, and then you wouldn't have to mention the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why does it mention Kodesh HaKodeshim first, pnima, and then you build on that and say, oh, Kodesh means Heichal. Samarava Bazev Limedalze says one of them teaches you about the other. Had you only had the word Kodesh, I would have said the word Kodesh means Kodesh HaKodeshim. So along comes Pnima and tells me that's Kodesh HaKodeshim. Well then, what is Kodesh? Kodesh must be the Eichal. So one teaches you about the other because whenever you have a Pasuk and you have a Din, you're going to go to the least Chidush. Least Chidush over here to say the problem is only in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, not in the Kodesh. So that means that if I only had the word Kodesh there, I would assume the reference to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now that I have the word pnima, it opens up the possibility that the word kodesh doesn't mean kodesh kodeshim, but actually means the kodesh itself. He says, midahava toshav sachir, similar to the din of a kohen with regards to truma. With regards to a truma of a kohen, his family eats the truma, his children eat the truma, his wife eats the truma, and his Avadim HaKnanim eat the Truma. And that is because anything that is a Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, including his wife, the Avadim, the Shfachot, Knanim, they all eat from the Truma. On the other hand, an Eved Ivri, which is not a Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, they do not eat from the Truma. Now, there are two types of Eved Ivri. There's an Eved Ivri that is there to work for 7 years and goes free. Or there's a Nirtza, an Eved Ivri who has his ear pierced and stays there until the Yovel. So now the Pasuk says that the two people cannot consume Truma, are not parties to the Kohen to eat his Truma. That is a Toshav and a Sechir. So the Gemara says about that, the Tanya, Toshav. Toshav is a reference to Zekanui Kinyan Olam. That's an Eved Ivri that has ear pierced and staying till the Yovel. Sachir Zekanui Kinyan Shanim. That's an Eved Ivri that's there to work for 7 years. Yomar Toshav. If you told me that an Eved Ivri that is there until the Yovel doesn't eat Truma, Yomar Sachir, you don't need to tell me Sachir. V'ani Omer. Kanui Kinyan Olam Enu Ochel, Kanui Kinyan Shanim, Lo Koshikain. If the Eved Ivri, who is more like a Kinyan of the Kohen, doesn't eat Truma, then certainly the Eved Ivri that's less like a Kinyan doesn't eat Truma. It says, Ilukein, Ait Omer. Because if that was the case, I would have said, Toshav, Zekinui, Kinyan Shanim. Had it not written both Toshav and Sachir in the Pasuk, just the word Toshav, I would assume that the word Toshav references to an Eved Ivri, just a regular Eved Ivri. That's why he doesn't eat. But one that stays to the Yovel, that has Nirtza, he does eat Truma. Aval, Kanui, Kinyan Olam, Yeyuchel. Bas Sachir, Vlimed al Toshav. That's why I have two descriptive terms over here. I have a Toshav and a Sachir. Because then I have the availability to include both types of Eved Ivri, or in essence to exclude them from the possibility of eating Truma, because I have two words. One to mention the one that's Kinyan Olam. Now that I know that there's Kinyan Shanim, I also know that the Kinyan Olam is problematic. Amalei Abaye. But it says, that's a nice thought, but Bishlam Ahotam, over there by the case of Truma, Trey Gufei Ninu. Those are two different people. There's an Eved Ivri, a regular Eved Ivri, and there's an Eved Ivri that's Nirtza, that has ear pierced and staying to the Ovel. They're totally different entities, totally different types of people. Well, the Pasuk could have just written the word Nirtza. Why did he write Toshav and Sachir? If you wrote the word Nirtza, I would know that you're speaking about a Kanoi Kinyan Olam, that he doesn't eat Truma, Vidach Ati B'Kavachomer, and then a Kanoi Kinyan Shanim would have come out of a Kavachomer. Milta Ati B'Kavachomer, Torach V'Kotav Lakra. Something that you could have learned from a Kavachomer, the Pasuk goes sometimes out of its way to write it, despite the fact that you could have learned it from a Kavachomer. Elohocha, in our case over here, by Hain Lo Vadama Pnima, over there you don't have this option. Kaven the Ifsa Beichal, Ifnai Vlifnima Bai. Once the item is Pasul in the Kodesh, then why do you need to tell me about the Kodesh HaKodeshim? The only way to get access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is to go through the Kodesh. So once the Kodesh is Pasul, why do you have to tell me about the Kodesh HaKodeshim? It doesn't make any sense. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is not meaningful over here, because it's really a subset of the Kodesh of the Eichal. Once the Eichal is Pusel, then the Kodesh HaKodeshim obviously is problematic, because you pass through the Kodesh to get to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So if that's the case, why do I need two words over here? Why do I need Kodesh, and why do I need Pnima to tell me this? Lamar Bayin, lo nitzrucha ela derech mishupash. It's only because you're coming in an indirect manner. As Rashi says over here, the definition of the word mishupash is shelo kidarko, not in the normal manner. Kagon derech gagim ba'aliyot, that you went through the roof, or you came from the attic, beit ha'mikdash b'lulim, through the sunlight, or the holes at the top of the roof, the way the Bali Tosfot explained it over here, is that's where the workers entered to clean out the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They entered in a way from the top, and with their backs facing towards the Aron, so they wouldn't be nene from the Aron, all of the things that are described about those workers that went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But there they entered without having to go through the Kodesh. And so here you can have a manifestation or a case where you come in without going through the Kodesh, and that's why you need both the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because there are sometimes ways to get access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim without actually going through the Kodesh beforehand. That's one explanation. The Bali Tosafot bring additional explanations as to what Derech Mishupash is. One of them is possibility that you went in through one of the side doors, instead of going through the front door. Other possibility is that you went through the lul. Remember we discussed today, Ezum will come on, about opening up the possibility of shechting kochim kalim behind the heichal, because that's petach o'mu'eid, because there's a lul. There's a small opening over there that allows you into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's another possibility of entrance. Or the possibility that you walked in sideways, that's what it says, because it says hein luhuva, ba'a, or bi'a. You have to enter It's only the way that you enter that it's problematic if you go to the Kodesh. But it's not only the way that you enter. Meaning either you're walking sideways. You go through a side door. Maybe over there the Kodesh won't be posel, and only the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be posel. Whatever it is, there are ways to get into the Kodesh HaKodeshim without going through the Kodesh. And even though you could have learned this from a Kal Vachomer, which means that if you know that the Heichal is posel, then certainly when you take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it should be posel. That, Rashi says, is not a problem, because that you can answer the same way you answered before, which is even though it comes through a Kal Vachomer, Torach Mekotav Lakra. Posel went out of its way to write it, even though you could have learned it from a Kal Vachomer. But if your only access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is through the Heichal, then it would not be necessary at all to write Kodesh HaKodeshim. And that's why we have to find a way to get into the Kodesh HaKodeshim that circumvents the Kodesh, and that's why we need the Kodesh HaKodeshim to be written in that instant. Amar Le Rova, Va'avok Tive. Wait a minute. It says, Hey Lohu Va'atama. Only when you go in, Derech HaBa'ah, Derech, the normal way to enter, will it be Pasul. If you go in through any of these sideways or these other entrances, it's not going to be Pasul. El Amar Rova. If you're intending to take this dam into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh doesn't have impact on you. And that is actually a derivative of the fact that it tells you that when you take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it's Pasul. If it's telling you that, there must be a possibility of that. And that possibility is borne out by a case where you intend to bring it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. I mean, it has to do with your intent. If your intent is to bring it into the Echal, the Kodesh will ruin it. And then you don't need to know about the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because by definition, going to the Kodesh will be posel it. But if you intend to take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh has no impact on it, because it says there, and the Pasuk that we have in Tzav says, when it's brought in to do a kapara, as a kapara in the Kodesh, that's where it's impacted. But if the kapara is to be done by Kodesh HaKodeshim, then the Kodesh doesn't affect it because you're not intending for kapara in the Kodesh.
And in that way, Rova is very similar to the opinions in our Mishnah that say that only when you go in the chaper, does it have a problem, or only when you accomplish kapara does it have a problem. And that we'll deal with a little bit in tomorrow's daf in defining what are the reasons behind those opinions in the Mishnah.
By Rova. Par helam davar shel tzibur v'seir avodat kochamim she'hichnis damam lifanai v'lifnim. If you take in the parim davar shel tzibur, or the Seir Avodat Kochavim, which are Parim Nisafim or Seirim Nisafim, which dam should go into the Echal, but should not go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Only the dam of the Parim Seir of Shom Mikvarim go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, not the Parim Nisafim and Seirim Nisafim. What's the din over there? Mir Minin Ela Kodesh Pnima, Kohefet the Krina Ela Kodesh Krina and the Pnima. The Pasuk says Kodesh Pnima, and we said Kodesh refers to the Echal, Pnima refers to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So maybe there's a parallel between them. Something that's pasul when it goes into the Heichal is also pasul when it goes into Kodesh Kodeshim. Koecha, the Lokrin and Ela Kodesh, Lokrin and Prima. It's not a problem taking it into Heichal, it's not a problem taking it into Kodesh Kodeshim. The Parim and Nisrafim and Nisrim and Nisrafim, which when they go into the Heichal are not pasul because that's where they belong, then maybe even when they're taken into the Kodesh Kodeshim, they're also not psulim. Oduma, Shalobim, Komanu. Or maybe still that's out of place. Their place is in Heichal. You take it into the Kodesh Kodeshim, you're out of location. That's going to be poselit. Imtim Salomar, and this is the sheet of the Rambam, when the Gemara says Imtim Salomar, this means this is the way they're paskening, and you can see that here, the oat of the Ein Mishpat is there, Shalobim Komanu. Even if you want to say that Shalobim Koman, if you take the Paralim Davshut Tzibor, the Sira of Odezara, and you take them into Kodesh Kodeshim, it's posel them, because that's Shalobim Koman. Parv Seir Shayom HaKippurim, so they belong in the Kodesh, they belong in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, their dam is brought into all these locations. So what happens? Shizami Daman Al-Badim. He did the avodah already in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Ve'otzi an le'echal, and then he took the dam out of there to do them on the parochet in the echal, Ve'chichnesan, and then he brought them back into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Mao, what's the din there? Ki amrin and makumamhu. Do we say that it's their place? I mean that the parents here shall keep bringing their dam is taken into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So there's no problem. You take it back in. There's no issue. Odel maho v'nafak nafak. Or maybe once you've already discharged your obligation, lifnai v'lifnim, when you take it out to the Echal, it's no longer permitted to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. And if you take it to the Kodesh Kodeshim, it's Chutzim Koman, and it will be Pusel the Korban. Ve'im Tim Salomar, once again, the Gemara here concludes, Ho'il V'nafak Nafak, that once you've left, you've left. And that means if you go back to the Kodesh Kodeshim, it would be Pasul. Hazami Daman Ala Parochet. If after he did the Ben Abadim, he came out and he did the Matnot Dam on the Parochet in the Echal, Ve'otziola Mizbeach, and then he went outside the Mizbech HaZahav, because that's the next location where you have to do the Matnot Dam, is that you have to exit from between the Parochet and the Mizbech Zav and go out to the other side of the Mizbech Zav, and there you do the Matnotam, the seven on the top and the four on the Karnotam Mizbeach, and then Mechnisan. And then he takes them back in to the other side of the Mizbech Zav, meaning further into the Kodesh, back into that area between the Mizbech Zav and the Parochet. Mao, what's the din? You're still in the Kodesh. Either side of the Mizbech Zav is still the Kodesh of the Echal, and you haven't changed locations, so there shouldn't be any Pasul. Odilma Yitziyah Karinan Bay. The Torah says, V'yatzal Mizbech, that you go outside, meaning that you're leaving the area between the Mizbech Zav and the Parochet and going outside, meaning the other side of the Mizbech Zav. It calls it Yitziyah. Because the Yitziyah means that you've left that area already. If you go back to that area, maybe it is Pusel. That Gemara leaves as a teku, as an unresolved issue. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Pe Gimel Amud Aleph.